And what a wonderful declaration. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. And those words, as we heard Arthur just read, come straight from Paul's letter to Timothy. So as we turn to God's word together, let us open our hearts to hear what it means to have faith that stays firm, even when life gets uncertain or heavy. Because every Sunday we gather, we bring our whole lives together into this room. The joys, the worries, the things we'd rather not speak of or share. I know that for many of us, the past few months, for some perhaps even years, have felt very heavy. Our church family together have walked through loss and through sickness, through waiting rooms and phone calls that have changed everything. And when you carry that kind of weight, faith can start feeling like it's wearing thin, like you're just holding on by the fingertips. And sometimes we think that strong faith means feeling strong all the time. But I've learned that real faith is often quieter than that. It's the faith that wakes up in the morning and says, Lord, help me. Help me trust you today. Not because we've lost faith, but because we know that when we are weak, he is strong. And I want you to picture two small things. A seed and an ember. A seed looks insignificant. An ember looks like it's about to die out. But given the right conditions, plant the seed and fan the flame, and both change the environment around them. And that's what faith looks like, because it doesn't always roar. Sometimes it refuses to go out. It's alive and it's growing and it's enduring. And that's the kind of faith I want to speak about today, a faith that stands firm. So wherever we find ourselves this morning, you're in the right place, because the God who gave you that faith is the same God who sustains it. He's tending to the seed and blowing gently on the flame. And I want to begin today with the psalm that was read, where David began, about what it means to trust when the world feels unfair. Psalm 37 was written in David's later life. He was a man who had seen both triumph and tragedy, joy and loss. He starts with these words, "Do not fret because of those who do evil, nor be envious of those who do wrong." Now, the word "fret" in Hebrew literally means to burn or to get heated up. David's saying, don't let worry and anger so consume you and eat you alive when life doesn't seem fair. And he's talking to us, he's talking to people who are looking around, seeing the wicked prosper, and thinking, God, where are you in this? And it might sound familiar. You might have asked that same question when good suffer and the unjust seem to get ahead. But David's wisdom was born from years of walking with God in this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell yourself, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's a rhythm, isn't it? To trust, to dwell, delight, commit, and rest. That's how faith stands firm, not by fighting harder, but by rooting ourselves deeper in the Lord. And waiting upon God doesn't mean doing nothing. It means staying faithful, because that is something. Because while he works in ways that you cannot see. And in Hebrew, wait patiently carries the sense, waiting patiently, carries a sense of waiting longingly, waiting with expectation. It's praying for rain during drought and picking up that umbrella and walking out with it. David says, "To those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." In other words, God's promises may take time, but they are never empty. The wicked's success is temporary. It's bound only to this earth. But God's goodness is eternal. Have you ever planted something? Perhaps you're a gardener. Perhaps you tried your hand at gardening. I can't seem to always keep them alive. And it wasn't quite growing fast enough, especially when they have those school projects. And everyone's comparing who's got the leaf, who's got the shoot. And then who's got the rotten one on the side that's been overwatered or underwatered and forgotten? You water it. You check the soil. You hover over it. You wait expectantly. But the growth happens underground where we can't see before it breaks the surface. And that's what David is reminding us. Sometimes a seed of faith is doing its deepest foundational work when nothing seems to be happening. And he says, be still before the Lord. And it's not a demand to be silent. It's an invitation to just settle in his peace. To breathe in and exhale. The trust that the God who holds and changes seasons holds you. So maybe your heart has been anxious this week. Maybe you've been burning with frustration or fear in various circumstances. Let this morning be a hand over to you and say, Lord, I'm going to stop fretting and start feeding on your faithfulness. Because faith that stands firm doesn't grow in the absence of trouble. It grows in the middle of it. It's faith that says, even here in the difficulty, in the struggle, in the pain, I will trust you. I will choose you. So David teaches us about what faith does when we're waiting. It trusts, it commits, it rests. And Jesus takes that same truth and gives us a picture. He doesn't define faith as an idea. He shows us what it looks like when it's alive. He holds up something, a tiny seed. You most probably can't even see it from where you're sitting. That's because I'm not holding anything. But if I was, you still wouldn't be able to see it. It's that tiny. But you'd lose it between your fingertips, that mustard seed. And he says, now translations are quite interesting. He says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. And we've all heard this verse. We thank you, Arthur, for reading it this morning. Faith the size of a mustard seed. We've heard it said for years, all you need is a little bit of faith. And yes, God can do great things with little. But I want you to notice something deeper today. In the original language, Jesus uses the word hos in Greek. It doesn't mean the size of, it means like or as. Because Jesus isn't praising small faith. In fact, he rebuked it a little bit earlier on, where he said to the disciples, ye of little faith. So he's not saying be content with tiny faith. Instead, he's describing the kind of faith that, like a mustard seed, is living, growing, and resilient. But we say that, and let's picture it for a moment, because what makes a mustard seed so special? Now, the mustard seed is tiny and mighty, but when planted, it can grow into a massive tree. And when it grows, the roots go so deep and spread so wide, far and wide, that it overtakes everything around it. It's almost impossible to get those roots out. It will thrive in the toughest situations. That is a mustard plant. And that's the kind of faith Jesus is talking about. Not fragile faith, but invasive faith that keeps pushing through doubt and delay. That once planted, takes over your thinking, takes over your habits, your reaction, and your whole life. David says, trust in the Lord and dwell in the land. Jesus says, plant your faith in the soil of God's kingdom and watch what grows. Both are saying, stay rooted until fruit appears. So then what does a faith like a mustard seed actually look like for us? First, it's alive. You can't see what's happening beneath the surface because sometimes the most powerful things aren't dramatic. It just keeps breathing whilst everything else stops. Second is resilient. Mustard roots go deep. And again, try and dig them up. It's like mint. It's everywhere and it'll keep popping up. Think, what are they called? Weeds, dandelions in pavements. The smallest crack in that pavement and the dandelion finds life there. Maybe we should be like dandelions as well. And maybe you've met believers like that, where they've been through things that you look and you think that should have destroyed them. Maybe you yourself have been through those things. And yet there you are, here you are, still praising, still serving, and still believing. And that is faith like a mustard seed. Third, it's expansive. Once it grows, it brings shade to others. Your faith isn't just for you. When it grows, others will find rest under its branches. And that's the faith that moves mountains, not because it is small, but because it's alive. And anything that is alive in God's hands keeps expanding. Friends, you may feel small today, and that's all right, because what matters is living. Don't measure your faith. Plant it. Don't keep it in your pocket as a concept. Put it in the soil of obedience. Jesus followed that statement about the mustard seed with a story about a servant doing his duty. Why follow it with that? Because faith grows through faithfulness. The way we water faith is through obedience. Doing what God asks, day after day, even when nobody claps, even when nobody sees, that's how the roots go deep down. Now, think about Peter on water. He gave us an illustration of faith. Jesus calls and he says, come. Peter steps out and for a moment, he's doing the impossible. Then he looks at the wind and he begins to sink. Jesus catches him and says, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter's problem wasn't the size of his faith. It was his focus. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, his seed was growing. He was on the water. The moment he looked at the storm, fear uprooted. And that's so often us. We start strong. We believe God for something. And then it might take time. Or life's wind starts to blow around us. And suddenly we were sinking on something that we were standing on. But that's God's mercy because he does not let us drown. Jesus reaches out his hand and lifts us up. And teaches us again to keep our eyes on him. To keep our focus on him. We've seen what faith looks like when it waits with David, or we see what it looks like when it grows with Jesus as a mustard seed. And we have Paul, who takes the same theme and adds a new image, fire. He writes to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. It's a different picture, but the same message. Faith is living. If you neglect it, it cools. If you tend to it, it's ablaze. So let's look at this together. Paul's writing to Timothy at a dark, lonely moment. He's sitting in a Roman prison cell. The air is damp. It's cold. chains on his wrist and his execution looming. And his young protege, timid Timothy, is out there leading a church brand new under pressure. Can you picture it? The older man, battered and scared, scarred, he wasn't scared, battered and scarred, writing to the younger man who still has his entire life ahead of him. And what does Paul say? Not take care of yourself. Not, it's okay, go find an easier post. He says, I remind you to fan into the flame of God that is in you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. And the image is simple but powerful, because a fire that's cooling down, a few orange embers left, with the heat fading, if you do nothing, it goes out. But if you stir it, if you add fuel, if you blow a little air, the fire roars back to life. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't let what God has started in you go cold. The Greek verb Paul uses is keep rekindling. It's an ongoing action. Faith isn't something you light once and forget about it. It's a fire you tend to daily. So maybe some of us can relate to Timothy. You know, started out blazing, excited about serving, passionate about prayer, confident in God's calling. But over time, the pressures of life, the circumstances we step into, the disappointments, the criticism, the sheer exhaustion may have dimmed these flames. But the fire is still there. It might be embers. But hear Paul's words as if he was writing to you. Fan it into a flame. Repeat after me. Fan it into a flame. And you've said that to your spirit. Each one of us this morning before the Lord. We are fanning what he has given us into a flame because we are reigniting with him. And Paul knows what smothers faith most effectively. It is fear. That's why he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. It is the dousing of water onto the embers, fear. And it whispers, what if you fail? What if they don't like you? What if God doesn't come through? And before long, the whispers become winds, and we've had some strong winds around us. Winds that cool the flame. But Paul reminds Timothy and us that fear is not from God, for what is from God is power to do what he has called you to do. It is love to keep your heart soft towards people, especially your enemies. And self-control, or a sound mind, to keep you steady when emotions swing. The spirit inside of you is not timid. He is bold and loving and balanced. In verse 8, Paul writes, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And that can be a hard word, because what's he saying? Join with me in suffering. Nobody likes to join in suffering. So what's he saying here? He's not glorifying pain. He's glorifying purpose. He's saying, do not let hardship make you hide. Timothy was tempted to shrink back and tone down his message and protect himself. But Paul says, do not be ashamed. Step forward, because sometimes we confuse gentleness with silence. We think faith means staying quiet and keeping peace. But there's a holy boldness that comes from love and the courage to speak truth with grace, to stand for Christ when it costs something. And we see this in our world, in the world around us, especially with the Christians going through persecution in Nigeria. Faith that stands firm is faith that won't hide. It loves people enough to tell them the truth even when it's uncomfortable, and it loves God enough to obey him even when it's costly. And so, can I say something here? And I'm speaking to myself. Some of you have kept your faith so private that it's suffocating. Suffocating you. You've hidden your light under a bushel because maybe you didn't want to offend anyone. And now you're wondering why your flame might feel weak. Bring it into the open. Start by telling someone. Share with each other, what has God done for you? Pray out loud again. Sing again. Serve again joyfully. The flame grows brighter when it has oxygen, and your faith needs to be in the open air. Paul's letter isn't a challenge. It's full of tenderness too. Verse 5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now that it lives in you also. Paul isn't scolding Timothy. He's calling him back to his roots. He's saying the faith that raised you, the prayers that carried you, they're still bearing fruit in you. And maybe you may you be reminded today that the faith of those who have prayed for you, parents, grandparents, friends, it hasn't been wasted. You're part of the harvest, and God hasn't finished with you yet. No matter age or circumstance. And to those of you who have prayed for whom you have prayed, it hasn't been wasted. They are part of your harvest, and God hasn't finished with them yet. And if you're tired, hear this. Jesus never scolds the smoldering wick. He fans it gently. He doesn't discard the weak. He strengthens them because that's who he is. Faith that keeps burning. So how do we keep that faith alive? And Paul gives us three quick ways. You feed it through scripture and prayer. The word is fuel. You protect it by guarding against fear, sin, and cynicism. Those are faith's thieves, and you share it. As Anne had mentioned last week, with compliments. Every time you encourage someone, every time you serve, oxygen flows over the fire, and that fire spreads. So faith that stands firm is not about being loud or emotional. It's about being consistent. It is the quiet couple who've prayed together for 40 years. It's the young mom who whispers scripture while folding laundry. It's the man who forgives one more time because Jesus forgave him too. And it's the teenager who stands up for what is right, even when everyone around him mocks him. Because those flames may look small in their circumstance, but together they light up the world. So we've seen three pictures today. David's faith that waits and trusts. Jesus' faith that grows like a seed. Paul's faith that burns and endures. A waiting faith, a growing faith, a rekindling faith. They all point to the same truth that faith is alive, and the one who planted it in you is faithful to sustain it. So maybe this morning you feel more like a buried seed than a flourishing tree, or more like a pile of ashes than a burning fire, and that's okay. Because God does his best work in hidden places. The soil and the ashes are where resurrection begins. So don't despise the smallness. Don't curse the waiting. Don't fear the cooling. The gardener and the fire starter are still at work in you. And let him fan your faith today. Let him water it with hope. And let him remind you that even a flicker is enough when it is in his hands.